According to one tradition, St. Francis of Assisi, when teaching his followers how to minister, said, "Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words." That was his way of saying that, of saying what we today say, that actions speak louder than words. That's because human words can be empty, sometimes hypocritical, and sometimes too full of lies. What about God's word? We have just heard the Lord through the prophet Isaiah say, "My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." And so, unlike human words, God's word is entirely different. It is meaningful, it is persuasive, and it is effective. That's why the word of God is at the center of our Catholic faith. Despite the myth you'll often hear that Catholics do not know their Bible, what we do as Catholics, what we believe as Catholics, even how we worship as Catholics, all come from God's word in scripture and in tradition. Perhaps the problem is not that we don't read the Bible. Perhaps it is that we don't understand the power of God's word. And so I would like to describe in my homily today three ways in which we should hear the word of God, the three levels by which this word is informative, persuasive, and fruitful. First, like any words, God's word is informative. For example, when we read in the gospel that Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches," we understand the meaning of that statement because we know what a vine is and we know what branches are. Even in ordinary life, imagine, for example, a father teaching his daughter how to drive. Suddenly, as they're driving along the street, he says, "Honey, the light is red." If the young lady is not colorblind like me and knows what red means, she will understand that certain light is red in color. But there's more to that. Words do more than merely inform us of facts. The second level of meaning, therefore, is persuasive. When the dad of this young lady says the light is red, he's not merely giving her a lesson in colors, something he should have done when she was much younger. He's actually warning her that the traffic light they're approaching has turned red in color. And so the statement, of course, has information about color, but more importantly, it has the force of warning her. And so similarly, when we hear Jesus say, "I am the vine and you are the branches," he's not giving us a botanical lesson. But those words have the force of persuading us that we have a relationship with him, a special relationship with him and with each other. But there's still one more purpose of words. Besides informing us, besides persuading us, words also have the power to elicit action from us. In our example, when the dad tells his daughter that the light is red, he intends with those very words to make her stop the car, lest they both meet their maker right there. Similarly, when Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches," he intends to elicit concrete action from us. that we concretely live out that statement in our union with him and with each other. And so words are informative, persuasive, and most importantly, effective. That's what Isaiah is saying about God's word. And so if we hear God's word as not only informing our minds of some facts, but also persuading our hearts, and thirdly, effecting some action in us, then we can see why God's word will not return to him void, but will do his will, and God's word will achieve the end for which he sent it, a response from us. And so even though the Bible is not a history, geography, or science textbook, there's plenty to learn from it about who God is, what his will is for us and for the world. The things we profess in the Creed in a few minutes, the Trinity, the Incarnation, the resurrection from the dead, all come right out of the Bible. It's from the Bible that we learn the Ten Commandments, the two greatest commandments of love, the Beatitudes, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the works of mercy. Even the words of our Mass and liturgy, our prayers and devotions, all come out of the Scriptures. And so we must know what God has said and know it really well, and not merely be experts at quoting scripture verses during a trivia game or when sparring with friends on Facebook. For as St. Jerome said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. After knowing what God has told us, the second purpose is we must let his word persuade us. We cannot be like those secular scholars of the Bible who don't believe a word of it. They know it, but they know it in the same way they know history, science, geography. For us Christians, our knowledge of the Bible has to be accompanied by a conversion of heart. Like the young lady who not only knows that the light is red with her mind, but also knows in her heart that the light being red is a warning to her. It's for this reason that Hebrews tells us that the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. The word of God must touch us, not only at the level of our heads, but especially at the level of our hearts. And then thirdly, after our minds have been informed by God's word and our hearts persuaded by it, we must put it into action so that it does not return to God empty. That's what St. Paul tells his protege, Timothy, that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, for training righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. For us as Christians, to be equipped for every good work, this can only happen if our good work is steeped in God's word, is inspired by God's word. Just think of all the things we do as Christians in our personal lives, in our families, at work, or even as a church. They are drawn from God's word. Our pro-life work, for example, is drawn from what God has taught us about the value of human life and how to care for it. That's why we march for the lives of the unborn in January. That's why during the COVID-19 crisis, we are taking precautions to protect the lives of our elderly and vulnerable. And most recently, we are focusing our efforts in the fight against racial injustice. We do all these things because God's word, on which they are based, can't return to him empty, but must achieve the end for which he sent it. My dear friends, for God's word to be effective in us, we must prepare our minds and hearts to hear this word as Jesus has taught us in today's gospel parable of the sower. We must not receive God's word like the seed sown on the path, whereby our hearts and minds don't understand it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in our hearts. We must not receive God's word like the seed sown on rocky ground, whereby our hearts and minds have no roots to allow it to grow deeper, so that when some tribulation or persecution or crisis comes about because of the word, we immediately fall away. We must not receive God's word like the seed sown among thorns, whereby our hearts and minds allow worldly anxiety and the lure of riches to choke it and bear us no fruit. We must receive God's word and make it effective, as Isaiah has told us, with hearts and minds that are the rich soil of the one who hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. One of the places that we hear God's word is at Mass, in the three-year cycle of the Sunday readings, combined with the two-year cycle of the weekday readings. We hear about 90% of the Gospels, 55% of the rest of the New Testament, and 14% of the Old Testament, not counting the Psalms. But of course, we can't read or hear the Word of God only at Mass. We must continue reading God's Word even when we return home. Let me offer a few practical suggestions. Have you tried reading God's Word, the whole Bible, from beginning to end, perhaps taking one passage at a time? Have you tried studying the Bible with others, Bible study, perhaps with the help of those who have some expertise, like my former colleague, Dr. Brand Petrie, or Bishop Robert Barron? Have you picked up a booklet or downloaded an app on your phone that gives you a daily scripture passage for meditation? It's really up to you and me to make sure that, like Isaiah said, God's word shall not return to him void, but shall do his will and achieve the end for which he has sent it.